still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Loughlin.
At the 10, at the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Here's into the end zone, and it is caught for the touchdown. Sammy Watkins, touchdown Buffalo. Touchdown, Sammy Watkins.
It's showtime. It's go time. Let's go, baby.
Dominate on three. 1, 2, 3.
Dominate.
Let's go.
And he's going to be sacked again. He is dropped again.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills.
Everybody's waiting for the Bills' quarterback decision. How much of a difference will it make in the team's ultimate one-loss record this year? Give us a call. Let us know what you think about that. Coming up on the show tonight, Andre Flewellen, veteran defensive lineman, just joined the roster earlier this week. He'll be in studio with us. What's going on with the Cowboys? Drones over their minicamp. Virtual reality. We'll talk with Drew Davidson, who covers the Dallas Cowboys, and Charles Robinson, NFL senior reporter for Yahoo.com. He was at Bills camp today. We'll talk with him about his observations.
If we're all in it, if we're all in it together, we'll win.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Yeah, what is going on with the Cowboys? Drones. It sounds like something out of the military, but we're going to tell you how the Cowboys are using drones to monitor their minicamp workouts, and that's coming up tonight at a little bit after 8 o'clock, 8:30. We're going to talk about Bills minicamp again with Charles Robinson, who is a reporter who covers the NFL, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo.com. And at the bottom of this hour, we're going to talk with the brand-new Buffalo Bill, Andre Flewellen, signed to a contract earlier this week, Monday, I believe it was, right? Monday? Yeah, Monday he signed a contract. Yeah, Monday signed a contract.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm confused. Today is Wednesday. The reason for my confusion, we were not here last night. Thanks to Sal Capaccio for filling in last night. Sal did a great job as usual. We had a New Era Cap Company event to attend to. Head coach Rex Ryan was there as well. And great time, great folks, great supporters of the Bills and the NFL. Very strong Bills fans at that New Era Cap event last night. We're here tonight. We're here tomorrow. Tomorrow, the last night of minicamp. Tomorrow's the last day of minicamp. And then Friday, I can't believe I haven't mentioned this yet, but Friday, taking the show on the road again. Friday night, 7 o'clock. We're going to be broadcasting live from NOCO Express, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills. We'll be live at NOCO Express from 7 to 9 p.m. The NOCO Express at 4221 Walden Avenue in Lancaster. That is out there on Walden Avenue by on the corner of Walden and Pavement. Jay, we were there a year ago, right, for a show?
Yeah, we were there.
I don't remember that show.
I don't know the exact date, but I remember the show.
Who was the guest?
Oh, now you're testing me.
But I know we did a show out there. It's a big show. It's the showcase store in the NOCO convenience store chain. It's the flagship.
It's way out on Walden.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's in some people's neighborhoods, Jay. It's not that far.
Well,
I mean, you make it sound like it's, you know, an hour and a half drive.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right.
You don't have to pack lunch to get there or anything.
But well, could.
We're there Friday night, 7 to 9 p.m., and we hope you join us because we love to talk to you face-to-face, number one. Number two, Jerry Hughes will be there. Mr. Double-Digit Sack Man for the Buffalo Bills will be there. Friday night, he'll be signing autographs, one per customer. He'll be there 7:30 to 8:30. We'll be there 7 to 9 p.m. Jerry Hughes joins us at the NOCO Express Friday night, this Friday, from 7 to 9 p.m., 4221 Walden Avenue in Lancaster at the corner of Pavement Road. We'll remind you of that and talk about that a little bit more as the night goes along. But we want you to join us out there. Want to hear what you have to say about the Bills. By Friday, this mini camp will be over. Jerry Hughes will have some thoughts on how the mini camp went. We want to hear from you tonight as well on the phones, and the lines are open, 803-0550. Outside Buffalo, toll-free call, 1-888-552-550. You can reach us via Twitter at John Murphy Show. I've been there, mini camp this week. I was at most of the OTA session. I don't think I missed one OTA session. I've been around a lot. And, you know, if you have any questions about how things are looking, what's going on, give us a call. We can talk about that. We can talk about the quarterbacks. But I got to thinking today when, you know, I listened to Shope and the Bulldog a little bit this afternoon and looking for the pecking order in the quarterbacks rankings of the three, you know, Tyrod Taylor, Matt Cassel, E.J. Manuel. I don't know what that pecking order is. I don't think there is one just yet. And from listening to Rex Ryan, I don't think there is going to be one for a while, maybe a couple of weeks into training camp at the earliest. What does it matter now, by the way, if we know who the quarterback is? Would it be, as Rex has said a number of times, in the ideal world, you'd have that quarterback selected. But that's not the ideal situation here. But what does it matter big picture, too? what does it matter big picture as far as the Bills quarterback spot? How much of a difference, I guess this is what I'm trying to ask, how much of a difference will those quarterbacks make in Buffalo's one-loss record this year? Now, long-term, it could matter. If E.J. Manuel becomes the quarterback that they thought they drafted a couple of years ago in the first round, sure, that could matter long-term. That could be important. If Tyrod Taylor is a diamond in the rough, a guy that was Ravens let get away and the Bills quickly snapped him up as a free agent, and if Tyrod Taylor develops as a young guy, develops into a quarterback of the future, franchise-style quarterback, that would matter long-term. Those, you know, we don't know the answers to those, but for this season, short-term, how much of a difference will any one of those three quarterbacks make, especially the way the Bills are constructed right now, with a strong defense, a strong running game, and a quarterback who is not going to lose games for him? I don't know. I mean, I think we can all agree the Bills are going to probably on target to win somewhere between 8 and 12 games, right? Can we agree on that? And by the way, it's only four games, but I acknowledge this, and I'd say this a lot. That's a huge difference. That's the difference between playoffs, division championships, and mediocre also-rans. Last year, 9 wins didn't get the Bills in. So I know that's a big difference in the NFL. And there's very slight differences between an 8-win team and a 12-win team that make the difference between playoffs and no playoffs. But do these quarterbacks, I mean, do any one of these three quarterbacks tell you that, yes, they can win 12 games with this team? Or did any one of them say we can only win 8 games with this quarterback? I don't think so. Not from what I've seen so far. I think what we have here are three quarterbacks, three different stages of their NFL development. Castle, obviously, in 10 years in the league, you know, probably his best days would be behind him, you would think, at this stage. E.J. Manuel, 14 starts, former first-round pick. Some people consider a disappointment. You know, you would hope that his best days are ahead of him. And Tyrod Taylor, a guy who came into the league with after a great college career, but has sat on the bench behind one of the game's better quarterbacks in his first couple of years in the league. Do any one of these quarterbacks make that much of a difference in this year's one-loss record? I say no. But maybe you have a different opinion. I'm willing to hear it. Willing to talk with you about it as well. The phone line's open. 803-0550, the number. Outside Buffalo, toll-free call at 1-888-552-550. Or we can talk it over on Twitter. To be honest with you, if you're looking for the variables of what could be the difference between, say, an 8-win season and a 12-win season, I would think it'd be the Buffalo running game. Do they run the ball the way they did a couple of years ago as opposed to what they did last year? If they can run the ball effectively, I think that has a much greater impact on whether it's 8 wins or 12 wins or somewhere in between. To me, that's number one. We're assuming, and I guess we're building our expectations on the fact that this is a good defense, has been for a couple of years. But to me, the larger variable and how many games are going to win is the running game, not the quarterback play, not with this group. None of these three, I think, have shown any indication yet that they are ready to become a franchise quarterback here or anywhere else. If you think about Taylor and Matt Castle, none of these three quarterbacks in the competition here, I think, have shown that they're ready to explode, that, you know, flashes of brilliance that you just can't keep them on the bench. None of the three. But how much of a difference will they make in this year's one-loss record? 803-0550, the number to call. Toll-free from outside Buffalo. It is 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Jay, am I being too negative about this? I mean, I think a lot of here's the thing, and I know it's a burning question. It came up last night when we were at New Era Camp with Rex. People want to talk about quarterbacks. People identify with the quarterback. People pin their hopes on quarterbacks. In this case, on this roster, with those three candidates, I don't think that's realistic. And I think the Bills know that, which is why they went out and signed Percy Harvin, Charles Clay, traded for LeSean McCoy, made all the other moves they made. I think they know that they're flawed at quarterback right now, that they may have an answer, but they're not sure of that. And I don't think if you're waiting for a white puff of smoke to come out of the roof here at One Bills Drive at some point this offseason, and, you know, whether the smoke spells out Taylor or Castle or Manuel, I think you're mistaken. I don't think, you know what, they might win some games. They might have a good season, make the playoffs, playing a couple of different quarterbacks, really, based on injuries, obviously, or even performance. I don't know. Jane, I've talked too much. What do you think?
Well, I think it
all... Is that a bad thing for a radio show host to say? I'm talking too much.
No, not for us. No, we need to fill 2 hours. We still got a long way to go.
That's a bad thing for a radio guy to say.
Yeah. I just think looking at the division that we're in, we've been beaten over and over again by a team with
the ultimate answer.
Yeah, the ultimate answer. So I think you look at that. But if you look outside and the way the NFL, it goes back and forth. But now running backs are starting to become an important issue in your offensive philosophy. And they've identified that in a big way. They put weapons around and they've tried to increase their offensive line. And on top of that, I think they have a proven offensive coordinator that can put a system in place that can balance out your offensive output and not lean so heavily on the quarterback. I think if you look at Russell Wilson and you take away the talent that he has that surrounds him, I don't think he's that glaring.
I don't think he's that special.
Elite offensive.
No, I don't either. I don't either.
So I think that's the formula that you're trying to find. Can you win like that? I think you can. We just saw a team go back-to-back in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I agree with you on Russell Wilson. I think he. I love the way he plays. I love his smarts. I love his competitiveness. But I don't think he's an elite passer in the league, certainly. And I don't know if he's ever be an elite quarterback. But you know, they found a way to be a very good team, getting very good play out of Russell Wilson. Probably, you know, he's probably maxed out his effectiveness. That's one way to do it. And I think the Bills, without a major answer at quarterback, I think they're in search of how to win without the quarterback answer. That's basically what the offseason has been about.
Exactly. And they've done the best that they could possibly do. You're not, I mean, you're going to have to give up a lot and more that would probably hurt your team to try to go get a major quarterback. And the team that you're probably dealing with isn't going to give up that major franchise quarterback. Yeah. So you've done whatever you could possibly do, made a trade to get a proven veteran like Matt Cassel, who has made it to the Pro Bowl and has been successful. You get an unknown in Tyrod Taylor, who could have some upside, and then you still can work with EJ Manuel. You have an open competition that's not going to be settled until probably late into camp. Let it clear out. They've done the best that they could possibly do right now, and they've put weapons around that quarterback. So they're going to find a way to deal with it.
Yeah. And here we are in minicamp, and this is really why the genesis for this idea of what tonight's show topic is. Here we are in minicamp with people analyzing, you know, number of dropbacks, completed passes, how many passes hit the ground. It's going to happen with these quarterbacks or any quarterbacks. And there's not, I don't think there's going to be, as they say, aha moment with these quarterbacks. I don't think any of us observers are going to look at a minicamp practice this week or a training camp practice in July and August and say, boom, that's the guy. Do you? I don't think that's the way it's going to happen.
Not now.
No. If that were the case, it would have happened by now, and it hasn't happened.
Right.
But I don't think it matters. Let's hear what you think. Phone line's open. 803-0550, the number. Outside Buffalo, toll-free call, 1-888-550-2550. Here's a guy from outside Buffalo, Adam, calling from Naples, Florida. Adam, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi there, John. How are you?
I'm great.
All right. Well, I was just going to say, I was agreeing with you. I don't think it really matters one way or another, like, who really starts when you have a defense like ours that we have a coach now that is going to up the ante with the defense. Like, I really do think that we're going to improve in that department. I just think we need a leader, and everything I've heard, like, coming out, like, from interviews and stuff is that EJ is a fine leader.
Yeah, I mean, that's my position, and I'm not making this into a referendum on EJ or Cassel or Tyrod Taylor tonight. I mean, my position has been EJ, best case scenario for the franchise, Adam, to me would be EJ wins the job, not is handed the job, wins the job with this competition that is ongoing and will pick up again when they return in 6 weeks at St. John Fisher College. Because, hey, he's shown me the qualities you mentioned, Adam, leadership and composure and intelligence. He's also not shown some other things like consistent, reliable accuracy, you know, game poise at times. But I do think there's something there to work with. It needs more than 14 games of work, which is all he's had so far. But to me, that would be the best case scenario. But that's not what I'm advocating tonight. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. Whether it's EJ lining up against the Colts on September 13th or Matt Cassel, or Tyrod Taylor, I don't know that it's going to have a dramatic impact on the type of season the Bills have this season. Into the future, different story. But this season, I just don't think it's going to. You may feel differently. Give us a call. 803-0550, the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. George calling from Buffalo. Hello, George. You're on the air.
Hey, good evening, Ken. Just a couple questions for you, and I'd like your answers to them, if you would, please.
I can try.
All right, appreciate that. You know, I really don't even think about these quarterbacks right now, being very honest with you.
Yep.
You know, and the reason that is because, you know, they're all getting into this new system. They're all trying to put on their best show. You know, we're not really going to know nothing, as far as I'm concerned, until they get the shoulder pads on and they're playing. Once they commit themselves to that, then I'll bet you this sorts itself out real quick.
George, yeah, and let me, I'm not interrupting you. Let me stop you there because I 100% right. agree with what you're saying. I don't think about the – right now, this mini camp, I don't think about the quarterbacks that much. There's a lot – there's 93 – there's 90 players out there. There's a lot of guys to right. look at. I watch these mini camp practices and look at a lot of different things. I mean, I watch Kwanjo lining up across right. from Mario Williams. I watched the rookie John Miller today struggle a little bit, quite frankly, against Kyle Williams, which is to be expected. And, yeah, I watched the quarterback play too, but I'm not locked on to, oh, how was that throw from EJ? How was that throw from Castle? Did he lead him too far? You know what I mean? I don't think it matters right now. And I absolutely agree with you, George. It will sort itself out. Rex Ryan has said so. It said it'll be apparent when the quarterback thing is settled.
Another thing too, you know, I just see on the 100 how Buffalo players are right there up on the top line being picked on the NFL channels and stuff. And that's a beautiful thing. You know why? Because they let in sacks last year, the year before, if I'm correct, they let in sacks. And you know something? I already nicknamed them, and that is the sack attack, because that is what these guys are going to be all about. This is Rex Ryan, and they have an absolutely wonderful offensive coordinator who's going to do the very best he can. And those maniacs on our offensive line, get ready for any team that comes into the city of Buffalo. The 12th man loves their team in Buffalo.
George, thanks. I love your enthusiasm, and you make several good points. And the point about Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, is important, too. Among the many things, and I'm just getting to know him and getting to observe him. I don't have the book on Greg Roman. I don't have the answer on what kind of a coach he is. I think he's got a great reputation. I know he has a great reputation. I will tell you this. I like the fact that the Bills offensive coordinator is not a young hotshot trying to make a name and move up. Now, does Greg Roman want to be a head coach someday? Absolutely. I'm sure he does. But he's done it. He's done this job. Not a knock on Nathaniel Hackett. I think Nathaniel Hackett is a really good football coach, but this was on-the-job training for him the last couple of years. Greg Roman has had that training. And I have a sense that he knows he has a good eye for what he has on offense, what he needs on offense, and most importantly, what he can do with the talent he has on offense. And I think that's a really, really good thing. Here is Mark calling from Rochester. Mark, your thoughts on this issue we're talking about tonight.
Well, I just wanted to mention you were talking about the quarterbacks and needing them to, you know, do you have like an 8-9-win quarterback or 10-win quarterback? And I don't actually think that's as important as it seems. I think you need a quarterback that can win you like 5-6 games, and that the defense can win you like another 4 games by themselves. Coaching decisions and things like that are probably responsible for another 2. And the running game, you know, I think that there are other aspects that the Bills can look at and, you know, really come through, show their strength, get those wins. So they need a guy that can win like maybe 6 games for them, and they'll be in really good shape looking at 12 wins.
And win by, and don't let me put words in your mouth, Mark, but when you say win, quarterback that can win games, you're talking about a guy who can win games by consistent performance, steady performance, not necessarily,
absolutely,
you know, throwing for 450 yards or 6 touchdowns.
You know what I mean? You are absolutely 100% right. That's exactly the train of thought. I went to the Shady McCoy's charity softball game.
Oh, yeah, Saturday. How was that?
It was great. It was an awesome time. It was a great experience for the fans. You know, the team looked like they were having a really good time. But I saw E.J. Manuel blow a throw from second to first. I mean, he threw this ball like 5 feet off this guy's left shoulder. And I mean, I know it's a different game and all, but you're throwing a softball from second to first. It just, I felt a little sad inside for him. I really did.
Did they boo him when it happened?
I may have.
All right, so he's not an infielder. We can cross that off the list.
Exactly. All
right, thanks, Mark. Let's go to Edric in New Jersey. Hi, Edric. Good to hear from you. How you been?
Hey, good, John. How are you?
Good.
I want to say that I think it's very important, John, that we make a right decision with the quarterback. Last year, we saw at different parts of the season how important it was. For example, the coloring that we got those first four games when he came on, those are games that, like the Detroit game, the Minnesota game, EJ probably wouldn't have won. Kyle Orton might have won the game in Houston, you know. But towards the end of the season, I don't know what happened to Kyle Orton. Maybe his heart wasn't in it. I mean, that's what I saw. I mean, sliding before a first down, you know, he would corral himself for sacks. I think it's very important, John. And you know, and I think people keep saying, all we need is an Alex Smith. Well, you know what, John? It's not easy to find an Alex Smith. And we don't have an Alex Smith as of right now, from what I hear and from what I see, John. But I will say this. What helps me sleep at night, John, is the fact of how good our special teams is, John. And how many times last year we were winning the field position where we'd start at the 35-yard line, 40-yard line. And, John, for any quarterback, it's a lot easier to start to go, I mean, to only have to go 60 yards as opposed to 80, John. I mean, mm-hmm. I think you would agree with that.
Sure.
And I think, really, John, that's what makes me feel good, that with the special teams, with our run game like you brought up, and our defense, I think that's what's really going to make the difference is that special teams, John.
All right. Yeah, they got good special teams, Edric. Number three, you know, in the composite rankings of special teams, number three in the NFL last year. We're talking about Bill's quarterbacking, and of the three that we know are contending for the starting job, how much difference is there between the three of them, among the three of them, when it comes to how many wins the Bills will have? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550. Outside Buffalo, toll-free call at 1-888-552-550. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Rex Ryan, yesterday, after the minicamp session, talked about the quarterbacks and said they're not playing perfectly, but they're not elite at that position, according to Rex Ryan, but they're making some plays.
The thing I really liked most is when there was a mistake made by the secondary, we took advantage of it offensively. Now, unfortunately, the defense took advantage of the mistakes that the offense made. So I think, you know, there's kind of, you know, a little of that, you know, stuff goes on. But, you know, like I said, we have some guys, we might not have the elite of the elite at that position, but we have some good players at that spot. And the competition, I think, is just going to bring them all up. And that's exactly what you want. And you know, we'll see what happens.
You mentioned the excitement around the team from the fans that you've interacted with. Do you get the sense that there's a level of concern, though, at the quarterback position among the team's fans and, you know, what you've got at that position?
Yeah, I get it. But I'm also – there's a level of excitement about the quarterback position as well. You have you know, some competition at it, which I think is good. That's going to make guys better. And I think there's a comfort level – you know, with the fans, they just like me. There's a comfort level in knowing that somebody's going to have to earn the job. And I think that's good. I think our fans also look at our roster and they get it really excited at that spot that, you know what, it's not just about one position. It's about our football team. And we're pretty darn happy with what we have.
Rex Ryan talking yesterday after the minicamp session. Are fans worried about the quarterback question? I don't know. Maybe some are. I think all of us are aware that is a big question, the big question, as the Bills wrap up minicamp tomorrow and headed to training camp. Will it be the number one distinction between the Bills going to the playoffs or not? That's what I'm saying. I'm not so sure that it will be. I think a bigger variable to keep an eye on that will matter more to this team is how well does a running game come around? Does it bounce back to where it was a couple of years ago? And I mean offensive line and running backs too. That's what LeSean McCoy is all about, right? I think that is a bigger variable that will determine playoffs or not for this Bills team, as opposed to the distinctions between the three quarterbacks on the roster right now. Let's hear your thoughts on that. Steve calling from Rochester. Steve, what do you think?
John, hi. I just like to comment. One thing I really don't understand. There was a lot of optimism after the season, the first winning season in many years for the Bills. But yet it seems as this season's getting underway, there seems to be people thinking 8-8, 7-9. And to me, that would imply that Kyle Orton was worth, you know, two or three wins to the team. In my opinion, I don't really see where Kyle's performance was any significantly better than the three quarterbacks in camp right now. So what I'm wondering is, could you comment on that? And also, are there some other negative things going around that, you know, we're not aware of that are making people a little skittish about this year.
Yeah, I would tell you, Steve, I would disagree that people are skittish or pessimistic about this football team. I mean, I don't see it. I'd worry that the enthusiasm about this upcoming season is over the top. Maybe unrealistic, you know, unbridled enthusiasm. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I was at an event last night with Rex Ryan, a New Era Cap Company function, and I mean, those people are ready to go, and they're talking about playoffs and Super Bowl, and everywhere I go, people are excited about that. People talk like that. People know that the quarterback question is still up in the air, but I think there's an awful lot of enthusiasm about the 2015 season. I mean, I wish I had a nickel for everybody who I saw in the store or you know, met on the street who said to me, going to be a fun year this year. I mean, I think people are really excited about it, Jay. You get that, too. People that, you know, right?
I get it from everywhere, yeah. I think generally people are overly excited about, well, overly in some places that we see even on national media, but people that I talk to that aren't even familiar with what's going on here in Buffalo.
Yeah, I know. And the you make a good point, though, in one sense about Kyle. You know, if Kyle Orton didn't decide to retire, he'd probably be in the mix here as one of the three. I mean, can't you imagine that? It would probably be, instead of Castle, it would probably be Orton and EJ and Tyrod Taylor in this competition. But Kyle Orton had had enough. But I think he'd be in the mix. He isn't. You're right. He is not that much different than what they have, I don't think, in Matt Castle. Kevin calling from Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Hello, Kevin. You're on the air.
Hi, John. Good to talk to you. You were talking about the quarterback and how you thought it really didn't make much of a difference who it was. I'd like to offer this point. I think it's going to come down to the offensive line. If our offensive line is really solid in pass protection, I think that Castle is going to get the first chance. If they're not, then we're going to be looking for more mobile quarterback, which may lead to EJ or Tyrod Taylor, who I admit I don't know anything about. And the other thing I wanted to ask you about simply is that last year on defense, we had a great defense, obviously. We had very few injuries. Kiko Alonso was injured before the season even started, which, if you're going to get injured, is probably the best scenario you can ask for. And the other, only other one I can think of is Leotis McKelvin. As far as the Bills' defense goes, how are we shoring up as far as, like, you know, our second stringers, our depth? And as far as the offense goes, what do you think the offensive line is looking like since you've been to the training camps?
Okay, and well, let me start with that first, O-line and D-line. At these mini camps, very, very difficult to evaluate because no pads, no contact. I mean, and I'm not qualified to talk about hand placement or footwork when it comes to offensive line. You just, you know, those are nuances of the game that I'm not qualified to talk about. Miller, you know, John Miller, the rookie, has been in the starting lineup since he's been here. Seems to be doing okay. Moves pretty well. You know, Quanjo. With Chantrell Henderson was here today, finally, for the mandatory minicamp, but he was not with the ones. Cyrus Quanjo remains with the ones at right tackle, and I'm encouraged to see him there. He's not certainly doesn't look out of place. Then you got Incognito at one guard spot and, of course, Eric Wood. So the O-line remains to be seen. I can't really talk about that. Depth on defense is important. You mentioned that. The guy we're going to be talking to in studio here in a minute is part of that, Andre Flewellen, who has played a considerable amount of games in his career, mostly with the Detroit Lions. But they've done other things, you know, for depth on defense. They've made other moves to get depth on defense. Defensive line and linebacker. And, they like Ty Powell coming up to back up the starters at the linebacker spot. They drafted a first-round cornerback, eyeing depth there. So I think they're aware that they need to be deep there, that you can't always count on everybody playing through the whole season, and that's what some of those moves, these offseason moves, have been all about. All right, we're just underway here. If you're on the line, if you're on hold, stay there. We'll get back to your phone calls in a moment. Talking about the quarterback question for the Bills, a question everybody knows about, but how important, how critical is it as far as this year's wins and losses? We'll get to your calls on that in a moment. But we'll talk with Andre Flewellen when we return. He is a defensive lineman, a tackle primarily, who was just signed to the roster this week and has been here at the minicamp for the first few days. That's coming up next. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Tonight we're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive, and the Bills continue their veteran minicamp, the overall veterans and rookies. And joining us in studio, certainly a veteran of the NFL, a former third-round pick of the Detroit Lions in 2008. He spent a lot of time over the last several years with the Lions. Now he's a Buffalo Bill. Defensive tackle Andre Fluellen joins us in studio. Thanks for coming by here, Andre. Oh, I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me about the process of getting here. You've been out on the street, I guess, since last season, huh?
Yeah, pretty much, if you want to call it that. But yeah, they gave me a call, maybe Friday or Saturday early, asked if I could come out Sunday, had a workout Sunday, and here I am.
Here you are. Yep. What have you been doing since the Lions let you go at the end of last season, right? Did not bring you back. What have you been doing since then?
Just been training a lot. I picked up boxing. I've been boxing the last couple years now, so that's kind of how I stay in shape and all that. So, yeah, that's been pretty much what I've been doing.
Yeah, where do you live off-season?
Around Atlanta, Georgia.
That's where you grew up, in Atlanta area. Mm-hmm. What kind of boxing? What are you doing boxing?
I spar every Friday. I mean, I train 3 times a week. I mean, I was scheduled to have a match depending on what happened this year. I was going to have a match at some point in time this year. So
professionally, amateur?
Amateur.
Yeah. Really? So you're into it, huh? Tell me what you like about boxing.
You know, it's just a sport. You know, it actually is a science. I mean, it's a lot like pass rushing to me. It's a lot like, you know, you have to set things up. You have to work different angles and things like that. So that's what I kind of enjoy about it is it's not just go out there and just punch somebody to death, but it's more of a science. It's more of kind of picking your shots and things like that. So
when did you pick that up? When did you start that?
I started that about 2 years ago, 2 summers ago.
And you're right-hander, left-hander, or what?
I'm a normal orthodox, so I'm a right-hander.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And there is some application to football moves then, right? Hand placement as far as defensive line?
No doubt about it. I mean, hand placement, knee bend. It's really the same thing. It's just I'm just not moving forward as much as I would playing D-tackle.
Andre Fluellen is our guest, drafted by the Lions, as we said, in 2008, and on and off the roster a couple of times. It's had to be difficult the last several years with you to be with the Lions, off the roster, back with the Lions. Has it been tough?
It has been, but that's just the nature of the game. You know, I'm grateful to even have an opportunity to be playing as long as I have, so there's no hard feelings or anything. But, of course, you know, you want to be somewhere. You want to be solid somewhere for a period of time, but I have no regrets about anything.
When you look at that Lions defensive line, that's one of the premier defensive lines in the league, really, and for you to be part of that has to feel pretty good knowing that you're around some pretty good talent there.
Right, and you know, it's just a compliment to me that the Bills even chose to bring me here, especially with a great defensive line like we have here. So, you know, I've been around some great defensive linemen, which is good for me.
One of the things, Andre, that strikes me looking at kind of your resume is they've used you at end and a tackle. Is there a spot that you feel most familiar in?
I'm naturally a tackle, but I play, you know, end tackle, nose, shade. I've stood up a few times. So, you know, I can pretty much play anywhere on the board. But naturally, though, my position is defensive tackle.
And here, there are elements primarily of a 3-4 system. So are you okay playing inside in 3-4? It's not a 2-gap system.
Yeah, but no problem at all. I've done it plenty of times.
Yeah. What did they tell you when they brought you in? What do they have in mind as far as playing time or what, you know, down the road? What are they thinking?
I think they just want me to be me. I'm not 330 pounds. I never will be. And they don't ask me to be that. But they like my quickness, explosive, the way I move. And they said, you know, we want you to be you. Find a spot for you to be you, and don't try to do anything more than what your body can do. So, you know, I'm really appreciative of that. They give me that opportunity to not try to be somebody else, but just to be Andre Fluellen.
We talked a minute ago about the talent on the Lions with Nick Fairley, and obviously Sue was there when you were here. When you were there, now you're surrounded by guys like Kyle Williams, Marcel Darius, Mario Williams. What do you think of this group?
It's just people we used to watch on film all the time. So just to be part of it and actually see it live, you know, like I saw today, it's so impressive. It's more impressive seeing it live than you do on film. So, you know, I got a lot of respect for all these guys.
Yeah, I was thinking about how they could plan on using you, and it probably as simple as you're a guy who's played in the league. You know what you're doing. They're going to bring you in and let you compete. But as we all know, Marcel Darius is going to miss the first game of the year with his suspension. But you don't seem like you're that type, right? Marcel's more of a space eater, a big guy. You're more, it seems like your game is a little more quickness, maybe?
Yeah, more quickness. But Marcel, I mean, to be that big is probably one of the most athletic guys at that size I've ever seen. So he's not just a space eater, but I think they want me kind of just to be a penetrator and things like that. So that's my role. But, you know, no disrespect to him at all. He's not just a space eater at all. He can get off the ball. He can do so many things that a 330-pounder shouldn't be able to do.
He's a bit of a freak, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
What about Coach Dunbar? You've had a couple of days now to work with him. What do you think?
Yeah, I've actually known him. I think he worked me out in combine and things like that. So I've known him for a while. He's just just a fantastic person. Two, a fantastic coach. So I'm glad to kind of be able to link back up with him, even though he's never coached me. But to be able to, you know, play under him is a, you know, it's a blessing.
Andre, as you moved around the league, you've had a little stint with the Dolphins, a little stint with the Chicago Bears. What have all these stops, what have you learned from each of these stops in the league, including the Lions the last few years?
You know, it's just, you know, I just take it a day at a time. You know, I've heard it put best, just be where your feet are. And don't really look too far forward. Don't ever look behind. It's just be exactly where I am. So I'm appreciative of every stop I've been, the good and the bad. I've learned from the bad. You know, the good was always fun. So I'm just, you know, I'm really appreciative of my past. I wouldn't take it any other way. I don't have any regrets about my career at all.
Did you have workouts the last few months with other NFL teams? Did you have interest from other teams?
I had some interest, no workouts. This is my first workout, so.
And did you have a sense of, like, the clock ticking? Like, it's now we're into mid-June. I better get with somebody before camps open up? Or what were you thinking?
A little bit of that, but I think it's just this just felt like the right team for me. Just kind of was the right fit. Talking to the coaches, they said the right things. Talking to the general manager, he said the right things. You know, it's just not me just being here to be a camp guy, but, you know, just have a legitimate shot. And that's all I can really ask for, especially at this point in time in my career.
You mean, so you were looking for somebody to give you a shot, not somebody that said, come on in and fill out our roster, basically.
Right, right? Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Tell me about your decision to go to FSU. You grew up in the Atlanta area, you said. Were you heavily recruited, and why was FSU the best choice for you?
You know, I've always been a Florida State fan. I was a Florida State and Georgia Tech fan growing up. And, you know, realistically, there's a story about a guy, might have been a freshman in high school, and I wanted to go to Florida State. And he pretty much laughed in my face and said, nobody from Cartersville, Georgia, a little small town, will go to Florida State. He was like, you might as well just get that out of your mind. And that was kind of the fuel.
Because Florida State's so good? Or because
because
you go
Florida
to
State was so good at that time. And Cartersville is such a small city.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my fuel. So his name was Kendall. Kendall has been my fuel for the last 15 or 20 years.
Coach? Teacher? What was he?
Yeah, he's just one of my friends.
A friend?
Yeah,
he's
a friend, yeah. Yeah. And hadn't spoken to him since high school, but he has been one of my biggest motivators. He don't even know it.
When you went to FSU, you played behind a pretty good player, Broderick Bunkley, for a while. Tell me about that, what you picked up from him, and how you got your chance to play there.
Broderick, I mean, he was just, one, he's a really smart guy, a really smart football player, but just, you know, another one, like kind of like Darius, just a freak of nature. But he taught me how to dissect the game more than anything. That was kind of the, you know, I played with a lot of great defensive linemen at Florida State, so, but him... He's the one that really taught me how to dissect the game more than I knew before.
And looking over your FSU career, you got hurt your senior year that held you back a few games, right?
Yep, had an elbow injury, hamstring injury. So that's not how I wanted my senior year to go, but that's just what happens.
Did that hurt your draft status, do you think, going into the draft the next year?
I think it did, but I think I went where I went. I don't think that could have changed, but I think it did a little bit. You know, in my mind, it did.
Andre, a couple of days here with the Bills, but do you pick up much of a vibe here about this team and where they're at, what their expectations are as you've been here a few days?
You can just tell everybody is together. You know, everybody is not, you know, one group of people doing this thing, one group of people not doing that thing, but everybody kind of has the same goal in mind. Coach Ryan, he brings that mentality of, you know, just we're a great team. We can win right now. There's no waiting game or anything like that. So everybody kind of has that focus in mind of, you know, this is a winning team.
Who was your D-line coach in Detroit? You had a couple of head coaches there, obviously.
Yeah, it was Chris Kasurek and Jim Washburn.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Washburn's an old vet. He's been around a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did he rank as far as the coaches you've had?
He's one of the best that I can say. Just he knows the game in and out. I mean, he's been coaching for a long time, so he knows just the small, minute details. So he's really helped me along my career.
Do you feel like as you join this team now in the middle of the mini camp, the last couple of days of mini camp before training camp, do you feel like you got to play catch up a little bit as far as the defense, the system, even, I don't know, even conditioning maybe?
Or? Yeah, definitely the system. You know, boxing has kept me in great shape, so I'm not really concerned about that. But just the system, it's just new lingo, new jargon. Some things around the league are all the same. So the base schemes is pretty easy, but just the new blitzes and things like that, I just had to pick up on.
And this team is out of here Thursday for 5 or 6 week break before training camp. What do you do during that break?
Just do my best to, you know, to learn the defense. Just keep a playbook, study it, watch film of my own, watch film of past film of the, you know, previous players and things like that. So just kind of stay sharp on my end.
a guy like you who's moved around as much as you have, a lot of that time with Detroit, admittedly, it seems like you might be pretty well suited to kind of pick up with the team, not in the middle of the season, but in the middle of an offseason like this.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've done it. I mean, I remember when I was with the Dolphins, I had to pick up the whole defense and overnight. So, yeah. And I did it. As long as I have a method of being able to dissect things and kind of group them together the way I can. So, you know, my method works for me. It might not work for everybody else, but it works for me.
Do you put the boxing aside now that you're with the team, or are you still going to do that conditioning?
Absolutely not. No, yeah. I keep boxing, but, you know, now I hone it more towards sports specifics, towards football, but I still keep boxing as my conditioning and cardio.
Andre, thanks for doing this. We appreciate it. We'll see you around, and we'll see you certainly at camp in a couple of weeks.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot. Andre Fluellen, Bills defensive tackle, just signed to the roster this week, joining the Bills in their mini camp this week at One Bills Drive. It's the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks again to Andre Fluellen for joining us in studio. He is exactly what the caller talked about when he talked about depth on defense. Fluellen has played in the league, as he outlined for you. And, stuff happens, right, on both sides of the ball. And as good as the Buffalo defense is, you have to back yourselves up a little bit, and that's what I think they've tried to do. Did we tell you Friday night the show is on the road? Friday night we're going to be live at NOCO Express, 4221 Walden Avenue in Lancaster at the corner of Pavement Road. We'll be there 7 to 9 p.m. Jerry Hughes will be there with us. The Bills defensive end will join us at 7:30. He'll be signing autographs, one per customer at NOCO Express this Friday night. Make sure you join us for that. Going to continue our discussion when we return, our discussion about the quarterback situation. How critical is it, really, this year to find the definitive answer at quarterback? It's a good question. Does it matter that much in the win-loss record? We'll get back to open phones when we come back for the second hour. If you'd like to dial us up now, we'll get you on the air. 803-0550, the number. Outside Buffalo, toll-free call, 1-888-552-550. We'll read some of your tweets also at John Murphy Show. Next hour also, we're going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys. They've got drones flying overhead at their minicamp. They've got quarterbacks locked up in the room with virtual reality. Amazing. Fascinating. That's coming up next hour. An hour to go of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Let's go! Let's go!
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Keep spilling your blood for one another. Let's go get it now.
Yeah, let's go.
Bills on three. 1, 2, 3. Bills.
Safety. 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 Unbelievable.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills.
One more hour here to go on the show, and thanks for tuning in tonight. We appreciate your listening, and we enjoy your calling, too. If you'd like to phone in, give us your thoughts or your questions, your comments on the Buffalo Bills or the NFL, the phone line's open, 803-0550, the number. Outside Buffalo, toll-free call at 1-888-550-2550. You can reach us on Twitter as well, at John Murphy Show. Let's pick up the discussion, if you'd like to, about the Bills quarterback situation. No quarterback selected yet, and not likely to be one for at least, a couple of months. Are you all right with that? And really, how much difference is the quarterback decision going to make in the one-loss record this year? So you've got the three contenders, Tyrod Taylor, E.J. Manuel, Matt Cassel. How many more wins do you get from one as opposed to the other from this Bills team? I submit that the decision is not as critical as many think it will be. I mean, people are charting minicamp throws and how many throws hit the ground and how many snaps and making almost a daily evaluation of the quarterback race. It's a race. It's a competition. It's a battle. It's important. But as far as the one-loss record this year, I would submit to you that it is not as important as it is being made out to be. Mostly because the Bills are built on defense. The Bills are built on a strong running game. The Bills bring back the elements of the third-best special teams unit in the league last year. They're trying to win without having a franchise quarterback, without having an elite talent at quarterback. Rex Ryan has said it, and he has said it over and over and over again. And he's also said that he is not ready to make a decision on the quarterback battle for at least a couple of games into preseason. Here's Rex talking yesterday after the minicamp session when he was asked if it's disturbing to him that there's no separation among the three contenders at quarterback.
No, it's okay at this point. There's not going to be any separation until the pads come on. You know, I think that's, you know, as somebody a little ahead in the classroom, if somebody look a little better in Skelly, somebody look whatever, that's fine. But it's not going to be one until we get to playing real football.
You mentioned that you'd be willing to take it right up to the regular season. How do you weigh the benefit of getting a quarterback in place early versus, you know, obviously picking the right guy?
Well, I think the number one thing is to pick the right guy. You know, we have some right guys, but the right guy might be in the number one spot, the two spot, whatever the case may be. But that's the number one thing. So, you know, is time on our side a little bit? Yes, it is. In an ideal world, would you already have your quarterback named by now? Yeah, that's an ideal situation. But you know what? We're not there. We're in an ideal situation to have competition at that spot. And I welcome it.
Basically, they're doing the best they can do right now. Do they have an elite quarterback? No, they freely admit it. Would it be nice to have that? Absolutely. They'd love to have a decision made and an elite-level quarterback and focus on getting him ready and his backups. They don't have that. But to listen to the questions, and I don't get it from fans as much as others, you know, the questions about when you're going to have a decision, and isn't it bad that you don't have a decision yet, and what are you waiting for on your decision? Well, somebody's going to have to separate themselves. As Rex Ryan said, that will probably happen in preseason games, and he's not prepared to jump the gun. He wants to get the decision right. And when it's all said and done, how many wins more does one quarterback mean over another quarterback on this roster? I'm talking this year, short term. Long term, maybe Tyrod Taylor is the long-term answer at quarterback. Maybe E.J. Manuel is. But short-term this year, how much difference does it make? Let us know what you think. Give us a call. 803-0550 is the number. Toll-free from outside Buffalo, it is 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. A couple of tweets already that have come into the show on this matter. Justin Westfall, all they need is decent quarterback play, which will come from one of the three. All we're waiting for is just how good it will be. Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. Charlie Oswald tweets, if Castle wins the job, I'll breathe a little easier knowing he's a vet and can take care of the ball and hopefully not turn it over. Armored Legacy tweets, it's not easy for me to decide on the quarterbacks because they're in shirts and helmets. When the quarterbacks come back in pads, we'll see then. Victor Kay's tweet, Kyle Orton proved you do not need a superstar quarterback to get results. 9 wins with this current talent, an average quarterback will win. Nevermore Sports says team is pretty stacked. I'm not overly concerned about who starts at quarterback this year. Tyrod by game 5 is my bet, though. Ken Krause tweets, so much talent this year around the quarterback, we can win with all three, especially since we won with 9 games with Orton last year. And finally, Damian Lowe tweets in, going back to a call from the first hour, can't believe someone's complaining about EJ missing a throw in a charity softball game. I can't either. That was pretty interesting. We're taking calls on this. Let's go to Butch on the east side. Hello, Butch. Your thoughts on this quarterback question.
Hey,
what do you think?
John, first of all, thanks for taking my call. You're doing a great job, you and your staff. I really appreciate you guys listening to you.
My massive staff.
All right, John.
Yes.
Yes, that's right. My man.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about it, John, is like this. You know, since Jim Kelly era, when Kelly played in the U.S.
Butch, what happened? And, oh, there you are. Go ahead, Butch.
Yeah, you know, when Jim Kelly played at the USFL, the Buffalo Bills, you know, the learning curve for Jim Kelly was in the USFL, but he was playing, putting up so many high numbers, and it's really, we finally got here, we expected him right away. Since then, you know, we're real spoiled in Western New York of having Kelly and watching him participate, having a backup like Frank Wright, to the point where we had to get a quarterback to develop. We didn't ever have time to allow the kid or the kids to be developed. J.P. Lossman was drafted to be developed to be a quarterback, but we rushed him into it, and he failed, and next you know, he's out the league. Now, I'm saying all to say this, John. E.J. Manuel was playing with the coaching staff, who was basically OJT on the job training, offensive coordinator, that he believed and trusted. Now, during that point, yeah, he's set behind Kyle Orton. He saw the ups and downs of the NFL, coaching, how people complain, everything. Now, I really applaud Rex Ryan for saying that we would go into quarterback competition when the game is really being played.
All right, Butch, your phone keeps cutting out. Try to call back. You're making some decent points there. Let's go to Dan in North Tonawanda. Hello, Dan. Welcome. You're on the air.
Good evening, John. How you doing today?
Okay.
I'm just basically going to call, first of all, the biggest thing that keeps coming to mind for me is John Madden's famous quote where he said, if you have more than one quarterback, you don't have any. For me, it means a lot because of the fact that it's the only position on the field where, yes, they may not be able to win you the game, but they can definitely lose the game for you because they are the only player that touches the ball every single play.
You know, that's a nice, pithy comment, but most teams wind up playing more than one quarterback during the course of – how many quarterbacks do you think – I don't have the numbers in front of me, so I don't know the answer to this either. Well, but I know that most teams don't get a guy to start all 16 games for him. That's – you know, I bet a third of the teams in the league last year had a quarterback start all 16.
That's for injury-related situations for the most part. But usually you have a clearly defined starter. But the point that I'm getting at with regard to this is that looking forward to this season, the biggest hope that I have, I know, you know, Butch kind of hit on a little bit with regard to the development of E.J. Manuel. The only real prayer that I think we have is that if you do have a bona fide coaching staff now that's indisputable, that hopefully they can do maybe something with Drew Brees. Like if you look at Drew Brees' first 2 years, you know, with the Chargers, they were abysmal to the point where they drafted Phillip Rivers because they had no faith in him, and then it was literally almost like they flipped the switch. He was net for touchdown interception ratio flat the first 2 years, and then that third year he went 27 touchdowns and dropped the interceptions next to nothing. So I'm hoping maybe that Rex Ryan and possibly Mr. Roman can do something with regard to that to help bring EJ along, because I haven't seen enough of Tyrod Taylor to have a kind of opinion, but I don't think Matt Castle is anything special.
All right, thanks, and I agree with you on Taylor. I know he's got some support out there among the fan base. I looked at the preseason video, but I haven't seen enough to say that he's the guy. He's got skills. He's the quickest quarterback out here, and as Rex Ryan, I think, said yesterday, he's the fastest quarterback in the league. He probably is. He's got a strong arm. That bodes well, but let's talk about game experience. You know, he has less experience than E.J. Manuel, and E.J.'s only got 14 games, so we just don't know about Tyrod Taylor. Brian calling from the Southern Tier. Brian, welcome to the show. Your thoughts on this Bills quarterback issue.
Hey, John. My thoughts are probably not the most practical in the modern football world, but I'm thinking that any one of those three quarterbacks, I don't know, based on their track record, can go 16 games of and play. I think they're all average to below average quarterbacks that have the ability to raise their game for a 2-3 game stretch. So I think we may get to a point where this coaching staff is innovative enough where it may be a fluid situation where you may get a short hook on Matt Castle, and Rex Ryan may say, Matt Castle's my starter for next week, but he was off on this particular game, and he may go to Tyrod Taylor or EJ.
Yeah, or vice versa. I think you'd agree, right? It could go any way with that. I can see that happening.
You may have a 2.5-3-headed monster based upon what their packages are. And I think the situation is going to be fluid with Roman and Rex Ryan. It's not going to be that iron fist that this is our quarterback and we're not changing him out no matter what.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, Brian. I thought about that when I thought about tonight's show topic. Like, I thought maybe the question should be, how many different guys will start at quarterback for the Bills in 2015? Three? Are we going to get three different starters? We could, but then I kind of took it a step further and thought, well, really, what's the difference? I mean, maybe it's package, as you say. It's a matchup issue. Maybe it's a performance issue and they're not getting what they want. Maybe it's injury. We hope it's not that, but they could have three different starters this year.
I think it'll be fluid. I don't think it's going to be starts, and I do think you could get some good play on any one of those three on any particular afternoon. I just don't know if they have the skill set to get it done game after game.
All right, thanks. Let's take a call from Gary on a cell. Hello, Gary. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, John. How you doing, man?
Good.
Yeah, I'd like to say what I think about the quarterback situation.
Yes, sir.
I think EJ, I just didn't like that they yanked him last year. I didn't think Doug should have yanked him. I really think he's a young quarterback. I saw things in him that I liked and, you know, some things he needed to obviously improve on. But I'd like to see him get like 8 games in a row without being yanked. As long as he's playing, he's average or he's not hurting the team, you know. That's what I want to see. I want to see him improve. But he needs 8 games to really know what we have there. Then we can decide, okay, do we go to Matt or do we look to draft him the next year? Because I don't want to lose the season. But I really think we need to see what EJ has this year.
Yeah, and I do too, Gary. And is 8 the magic number? I don't know. It's almost tonight's question topic that's out there, you know, how much difference will it make among those three? It's almost a natural follow-up to a question that came up at the end of last year, and that question is this. How many games would they have won if E.J. Manuel had finished the season as quarterback as opposed to Kyle Orton? Do you think they would have won 9? I do. I think they would have been right there. You know, 2-2 when E.J. went out. I think they would have been very close to 9 wins, if not right there. So it's, and now we carry the question over into 2015. How much difference is there? How much separation is there going to be between E.J. Manuel and Matt Cassel and Tyrod Taylor? We don't know. We don't know that. We'll continue to debate that until the picture starts to clear up during the preseason games this summer.
And now, the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh.
We've been talking about the Bills minicamp. Most NFL teams are in minicamp right now, and the Dallas Cowboys minicamp, it must look like something out of George Orwell novel or something. They've got drones flying overhead at Dallas Cowboys minicamp. They've got virtual reality trainers for the quarterbacks. What the heck is going on down in Dallas? Joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline is a man who covers the Cowboys for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Drew Davison. Drew, thanks very much for being on the air with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, anytime, guys.
What's next? R2-D2 call in play, send it in place from the sideline? What's it like down there?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. You know, they haven't, you know, let us actually see the virtual reality room that the quarterbacks are using, you know, where they kind of put on this headset and it's a 3D image of the entire practice field. But, you know, the quarterbacks, especially the backups, Brandon Whedon and Dustin Bond, have raved about it. And then, of course, you know, they have little drones flying flying overhead, you know, just giving them different angles, you know, during practice. So it's quite a sight to see. You know, it's just, and, you know, we kind of joke, it's just a matter of time before a punt, you know, knocks the drone down. But we'll see if that happens.
That'll be must-see video when that happens. Hey, Drew, I want to say about 3 weeks ago, we had a guest on our show, Derek Belch, one of the developers of the Striver system, the virtual reality quarterback trainer. And he actually did that with the former Bills quarterback, Trent Edwards, who's his partner. And he described it for us in pretty much detail. And the way it sounds like the Cowboys are using it right now is exactly what Derek Belch told us about. It's perfect for backup quarterbacks who you just can't get the reps for on the field, huh?
Yeah, and that's, you know, Jason Garrett, of course, is, you know, a longtime backup quarterback, and he said, you know, he'd kind of been dreaming or thinking of something like this for the last 20 years. And, you know, last year, for the Cowboys at least, you know, their backups got plenty of reps because Tony Romo was coming back from back surgery. So, you know, they got a lot of reps during the offseason. But this year, Romo's practice every day, so for the backups, it's really a nice tool that they can kind of go back into, you know, the virtual reality room and, you know, kind of go through plays and just see, you know, and they can physically take a 3 or 5 step drop and just really visualize how they would call the play and see the defense.
Yeah, and it's important for people to know it's not like a Wii system. It's all visualization, right? I mean, they're not going through a throwing motion, but mostly it's set up for them to get the right reads, to look at what they're looking at and make the right decision.
Yeah, and Garrett wants them to, you know, kind of implement, you know, act like, you know, you're calling out plays in the room and, you know, calling out the different defensive looks and, you know, helping the linemen just to, you know, just the repetition kind of makes it better.
Drew, any idea how long the quarterbacks spend in the virtual reality room?
Yeah, I would say they spend, you know, probably about an hour. It varies, you know, I think it kind of depends on how many reps each of them get during the day, but they're definitely back there, you know, hour, maybe even a little longer, just kind of, you know, mentally going through the reps and then, you know, just kind of seeing the practice film and, you know, seeing the different looks.
One of the things that the developer, Derek Belch, told us about as far as a regular season application is, you know, you get your defense to give you the looks that you're going to see that week. And the Cowboys are playing the Giants, for instance. You get your defense to give you those Giants defensive looks. You put that on video, and then you load it into the virtual reality trainer. Do you have any indication that that's how the Cowboys might use it once they get to the regular season?
Yeah, yeah, and that's exactly how they intend to use it. And that, and Romo actually uses it too. So, you know, obviously it's great for the backups, especially during the off season, to, you know, kind of get these unorthodox reps, if you will. But I think, you know, comes the season, you know, of course, you know, the scout team defense tries to, you know, give them similar looks as their upcoming opposing team. But, you know, this is just another tool that they're going to be able to use to, you know, try and help, you know, their development and their game plan strategy, I guess, against opposing teams.
We're on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with Drew Davison, who covers the Cowboys for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Now let's talk a little bit about the drones overhead to shoot video, right? I mean, they get the video from they can have cameras on the field and, of course, cameras overhead and towers, but what do they get from the drones that they haven't had before in terms of video, Drew?
They kind of get more of an overhead angle of different plays, and really it's just another angle for them to see plays. It's nothing, you know, more than that, really. They just like the different angles the drone can get where, you know, the camera guy, you know, standing 30 feet above each end zone aren't able really to go and, for instance, you know, be 20 feet, you know, above midfield and, you know, getting the bird's eye view from there. So that's really kind of what they use it for, just getting, you know, more angles and more film for them to study.
Do the players notice? Is it at all a distraction from what you can tell, Drew?
No, I mean, at first you could tell the players, you know, they'd look up and be like, what the heck is that? But then, you know, of course, over time, I mean, they really don't make much noise. And it's almost kind of like, you know, the field cam that, you know, on some of the primetime games that they cut the camera that kind of swings throughout the field. So I mean, eventually they got used to it, but when they first introduced them, you could definitely see some players were looking up, like, you know, had no idea kind of what, you know, exactly the drone was or why it was even, you know, being flown around the practice field.
Hey, Drew, the Dallas Cowboys for years, almost decades, have had a reputation of being innovators and cutting-edge guys. Do you think this is something that will work its way around the league, the use of the drones and maybe the virtual reality trainer?
Yeah, I think, you know, they're always trying to stay a step ahead, and I think this is one way, you know, that they're doing this. I do think teams, and Tony Romo and Brandon Whedon were saying, you know, they think every team will eventually get the virtual reality thing just because it's that useful, you know, just to look at the different defensive fronts and, you know, kind of get reps that way. So I do think, you know, it will catch on. But Jason Garrett also stressed, you know, that they still like to run, you know, practices kind of quote unquote old school, and this is just a tool to enhance it. That, you know, they still believe in physical practices and stuff like that.
A couple of other Cowboys questions while we got you on the line, Drew. Dez Bryant missing the mandatory minicamp. How serious is that? Is that a red flag? Are we talking about him maybe missing some real time, some regular season time?
Well, I mean, Dez Bryant right now wants a long-term deal, and he's not signed the franchise tender for $12.8 million. So I guess technically he's not under contract, so he won't be fined for missing this minicamp. But you know, just I think it's more of a negotiation strategy, the missing regular season games. I don't see him taking it to that extent. Obviously, he's going to be disappointed if ultimately he only plays with the franchise tag, but – you know, $13 million's nothing to sniff at. So I think eventually he's going to sign it and be ready for the regular season. And Jerry Jones, you know, talked to us today, and kind of also echoed that. You know, both sides want to get something worked out. It's just a matter of, you know, finding that middle ground that, you know, they aren't very close on at this point.
Sounds pretty similar to what the Bills went through with Jarris Bird a couple of years ago in his franchise tender. Last thing, April, almost 2 months ago now, Greg Hardy got the big 10-game suspension from the NFL. Is that going to stick? There's an appeal on that, right, that should be coming up shortly, I would think, right?
Yeah, actually, tomorrow marks the 3-week mark of when Hardy's appeal was heard. in late May. So you would think, you know, judging by how long it took the Ray Rice decision and Adrian Peterson, that it should be today at this point. So it is under appeal. The Cowboys were expecting it to be somewhere in the realm of 4 to 6 games, so they were kind of caught off guard with the 10 game. So it could get dropped, but at the same time, you know, I guess you don't know until the arbitrator makes up his mind.
Yeah, we'll find out. Hey, Drew, thanks for this. We appreciate it. Keep your eyes open. Don't get in the way of any of those drones flying overhead.
All right, I'll try.
Thanks a lot. Drew Davison covers the Cowboys for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, where they've got drones flying overhead at Cowboys minicamp taking video of the practices, and they've got the quarterbacks working in a special virtual reality training room, the thing we talked about. You can find that interview with Derek Belch up on our website from, I want to say, 3 weeks ago. He's with Striver Labs out west in California. Derek Belch talked to us about how the virtual reality trainers will work for quarterbacks, and in the Cowboys' case, the backup quarterbacks. Drew Davison joined us via the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. We had reporters from all over the country in here for minicamp today. One of them, Charles Robinson, writes for Yahoo.com. He is the senior NFL reporter for Yahoo.com. He's coming up next. We'll get his take on what he sees from the Bills and a couple of other NFL issues when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Tonight, live from One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh.
Looking forward to doing that show at the NOCO Express on Friday night. Jerry Hughes will be there. These shows are always big. I mean, a lot of people show up, a lot of buzz in the air. We're going to be there from 7 to 9 Friday night. NOCO Express at 4221 Walden Avenue in Lancaster, the corner of Pavement Road, and Jerry Hughes will be there from 7:30 till 8:30, signing autographs, one autograph per person. That's coming up this Friday night. If you're out that way, Lancaster, Depew, Elma, all the way out there, you know, Newstead, Akron, Clarence, we're close by. Stop by and say hello. Saying hello to the Bills camp today was a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo.com, Charles Robinson, and he joins us live on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline right now. Charles, thanks for coming on here tonight. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, John.
You were making a tour of some NFL mini camps, and you got your look at the Buffalo Bills today. What did you think? What initial impressions did you make?
Well, I mean, without the, you know, full complement in the defensive backfield, I mean, it still, to me, looks like this is probably going to end up being the best defense in the league. You know, I think that really pops, you know, to me. And you know, it was interesting when I was kind of discussing storylines with my boss. I said, you know, although the scheme's not the same, you know, this defense reminds me a little bit of the Bears defense in 06 that took them to the Super Bowl. It's the kind of defense that's going to turn it over a lot. You know, could be a scoring type of defense. You know, should do a lot of damage. I mean, that the front end of that defense is unreal. And I think the one thing that surprised me is, you know, Stephon Charles really popped today.
Yeah.
And you're talking about a guy who, you know, for all intents and purposes, is going to be a rotational guy. Now, my guess is, you know, Marcell Dareus, you know, being down early, is going to be a little bit of an opportunity for him. But, you know, you're going to see some guys that are able to platoon really well and still get after it. But, I mean, the front end of that defense is it's just brutal. And it's going to – I don't know if it may set back the offense a little bit because, you know, that the offensive line's got to find some continuity. Obviously, you've got some significant issues at quarterback, and I just don't know how you can expect to have – a measure of success to kind of put one foot in front of the other when you're going against a defense that's just going to terrorize you every day. Now, that can make you better, but it can also, you know, hurt you a little bit when you don't have kind of the right mix of guys to solidify. But I see why people are excited, you know, and really that defense to me is, it is, you know, deep playoff caliber, you know, defense right now. And like I said, that's without the you know, arguably the three best, you know, defensive backs being out there. Not being out there. So I think when they're back in the fold, this is going to be something special.
It's interesting. We had this show topic, I want to say earlier this week, maybe late last week. You know, the Buffalo defense was fourth-ranked defense in the league last year. Realistically, we were asking folks, how much better could they get? Now, if you put that question to Rex Ryan, he's like, yeah, we can be better. And it sounds like you believe they can be better than last year also, huh?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I really do. I'm telling you, you go out there and you watch really what are supposed to be second string guys who are flashing. And you know, again, you're talking about obviously they're doing it against an offensive line that's a work in progress right now, to put it mildly. But still, they're showing, you know, physically they're showing. You kind of see technique-wise, you see some different things out there. And this is from kind of second, you know, tier guys. And I'm looking at my sheet like, you know, wait a minute. Like, this is supposed to be – these are the backups. And I know, you know, there's some NFL teams that would probably start some of these guys. And, you know, so to me, I agree with Rex. I think that, you know, number one, he's always managed to move, you know, the defenses that he's gotten his hands on a little bit ahead. You know, even any, and believe me, this is a guy who's been in the top five defensively quite a bit, and yet he still finds ways to make those strides forward. So to me, you know, the hallmarks of great defenses, I think it's always along the line, because if you can produce a pass rush without really having to scheme for it, if you can get guys into the backfield without really having to manipulate yourself, that's just going to, you know, allow you to really, really wreak havoc in the back of that defense, in the secondary, and obviously amongst the linebackers. And I think the Bills will be able to do that. So to me, that was what was really special. But on the flip side, you know, I probably came on the wrong day for the quarterbacks, because, you know, they obviously rotated those guys all through, got them some first-team snaps. It's just, I mean, I think to me, I stood there and I said, okay, I understand now why, you know, McCown not ending up here as sort of that bridge quarterback is a big deal, because you it's going to be tough. You know, they got to find a guy, you know, in that backfield who's not going to lose games for them and is going to have to find a way in a game or two to kind of win a game too. And, you know, I don't know that they have that right now. So there's a lot of work to do, you know, on the offensive side of the football. I mean, defensively it'll be great, and they should give great field position. They should turn it over for those guys and make their lives a little bit easier. But to me, it still looks right now like it's a team that's going to run the ball 40 to 45, you know, times a game and win defensively.
Charles Robinson, our guest, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo.com. We were talking about this with our listeners, our callers earlier, Charles, about the quarterback question. And, you know, they are what they are, the three contenders there, right, with Tyrod Taylor and E.J. Manuel and Matt Cassel. And I guess the thought struck me today, the way they're built, strong on defense, they hope to have a strong running game. Is it really going to matter in terms of wins and losses who the quarterback is among those three? What do you think?
Well, you know, again, I think it matters in terms of, you know, turnovers. And I mm-hmm. think that's the one thing that I've always known with Rex. You know, guys are on a short leash. You can't turn the ball over. And, you know, you can have an elite defense, and that's great. But you will see a divide created in a team if you get a quarterback who, you know, can't you respect essentially the football, and they've got to find someone who can at least be efficient, not great, and who just, you know, doesn't turn the ball over. And you know, I mentioned that Bears defense that took them to the Super Bowl, you know, that was a Rex Grossman team, and you know, Rex Grossman was not a great quarterback at all. I think that particular year I would have taken Rex over any of these guys, but Rex also had turnover issues, and you know, that caused some problems internally, you know, for the Bears, because as a defense you get frustrated when you essentially are the ones that are winning games for you constantly. You need a break. You can't, you know, defense will wear down when the pressure is season long on them. So, you know, to me, they just got to find the consistent guy, and I don't know if that's going to be Matt Cassel. I don't know if that's going to be, you know, EJ. I don't know if that's going to be Tyrod Taylor. You know, that's essentially what the preseason is going to be for. But I gotta believe Greg Roman, you know, the offensive coordinator, there's a little bit of frustration that hasn't been cleared up at least a little bit going into the break, or, you know, at least through Wednesday. Obviously, they've got another day to work. But you would have wanted someone to kind of take that step forward headed toward training camp. And I honestly, at least from what I saw today, and I know there was some progress yesterday, I didn't see a guy where I was like, okay, that's definitely your starter, yeah. And that's hard.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Hey, Charles, I want to ask you about some of the other teams that you've kept your eye on in these in this mini camp period. You were at Giants camp, right? And you wrote about Odell Beckham and whether he can repeat his big year in his second year. What do you think?
Yeah, I was in Giants camp yesterday. You know, Odell Beckham, obviously we've heard about him all off season. You know, every really since the catch, you know, against the Cowboys. You know, his hype machine has been in full drive. And, you know, I think people need to maybe dial it back a little bit. And the reason I say that is because, you know, for, you know, the 12 games he put out there last year were just absolutely unreal. People have to realize that if Victor Cruz is stepping back onto the field there, if Ruben Randall has developed a little bit more, you know, if they can be a little more consistent in the running game, they're not going to need Odell Beckham to be the all-world player he was last year. Plus, he's going to have defenses scheming for him. But what worries me most is this is the second straight offseason with a hamstring. And, you know, there are some guys who hamstrings become sort of a chronic thing. And I don't really know how this started in the first place, you know, this offseason. So, you know, it's a little troubling. You don't want to consistently have off-season hamstring issues with them, and those are the kinds of things that, you know, if they start in June and they linger into July, next thing you know, I mean, that can very well be something that you're dealing with all the way into October, which they dealt with last year. So, you know, I love him as a player. I just think people have the expectations are just in the stratosphere for him, and I don't know how he can live up to that. That said, you know, the Giants look pretty good. I mean, offensively, they've got to pull some things together. You know, I think they're probably, if I look at the NFC East, depending on what happens with Sam Bradford and the Eagles, you know, it's probably the second best team in the East behind the Cowboys.
And you were at Eagles camp, right?
I'm going to Eagles camp tomorrow.
You're going tomorrow. Yep. What are we to make of the, you know, the house cleaning that Chip Kelly has engineered down there? You heard the comments, obviously, up here from LeSean McCoy, but
right.
What, from a practical sense, let's put LeSean's thoughts aside, what do you think Chip Kelly has in mind down there?
Well, either he's going to, you know, succeed, you know, and it's going to be Jimmy Johnson-esque, you know, my way, and, you know, he's got the ego and he answers every question and there isn't anything that Chip doesn't know and it's going to be great for him, or it's going to go really bad really fast. And, you know, I think they have to be frustrated right now that Sam Bradford isn't ahead of where, you know, I think they thought he would be in terms of health. There's a legitimate question about, you know, how much time is Sam Bradford going to get in the preseason? How healthy is he going to be? That's scary. I mean, that's a frightening proposition right now, because that's, I think, you know, this season kind of turns on Sam Bradford for them. So, you know, in terms of the guys that they've lost or let go, you know, I think Chip Kelly has sort of that Jimmy Johnson-esque trait that, look, if you're not on board with me, if you're not into what I'm doing and I don't feel like you fit what I want on my team, I will move on from you. And he is, and I don't mean this necessarily in a negative way, but I mean, he is definitely the definition of the smartest guy in the room. Like, he really believes in everything he does. And if he doesn't, you know, have something that lines up with that, I don't think he's going to waste his time. You know, Evan Mathis is a great example. I mean, this is a guy that I don't think they really could afford to lose. And in a weird way, I think of all the off-season moves, you know, if Mathis is healthy, losing a guy like that may, you know, really hurt them. So, and I'd love for the Bills to pick up Evan Mathis as an aside. I think he could be a great benefit to the Bills. But, you know, I think, look, Philly's got a lot of work to do, and it starts with Bradford, and, you know, everything else is secondary right now. He's got to get healthy. They got to get him on the field, get him some reps.
Chip Kelly's got to have some playoff success to maintain that reputation as the smartest guy in the room, doesn't he, eventually?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's important. Look, if I think if they struggle this year, I'm hard-pressed to believe that there will be any kind of an implosion. But I think if, you know, if this is a year where they kind of have a mediocre season and, you know, you're talking 7-9, 8-8, you know, even 9-7, I think 2016 becomes sort of the make it or break it year for him. I think if they have made all these moves and you don't kind of see things moving in the direction that they need, that makes 2016 kind of his year. And either he does it, or, you know, he's going to be looking for another, you know, job, whether that's in college or the NFL. You know, he's got to show a pretty big step forward, and he's got to show that, you know, really the quarterback situation, he can work with Bradford, which is dicey because, you know, they haven't signed a long-term deal. And I know Bradford's camp would love to make it to free agency because, you know, look at quarterback position in the NFL. If Sam Bradford, regardless of how you feel about him, if he makes it to free agency, I can tell you right now, it'll be the biggest free agent deal of the offseason, and there will be a lot of teams clamoring for his services. So, you know, the Eagles, they got to make sure that, you know, he works out for them, and then they also, you know, get a deal done with him if they know that that's going to be their quarterback beyond 2015.
Hey, Charles, thanks. Thanks for coming on the show with us. Come on back to Buffalo sometime. Great to have
Absolutely.
You here today.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Charles Robinson, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Charles Robinson. Always write some good stuff, some good takes on the Bills. And I'm sure more Bills takes coming up later on after his visit to Bills minicamp today. Charles joined us via the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from tonight's show?
Well, I thought we learned a lot. I learned a lot about our callers, our listeners, their thoughts on the quarterback situation. And I'm not always right, but several people agree with me that the identity of Buffalo Bills quarterback this year, among those three, Tyrod Taylor, E.J. Manuel, and Matt Castle, is not critical when it comes to this year's one-loss record. Now, could it have implications down the road? Absolutely. But that's something to watch, and they don't have a decision yet on a quarterback, and as I said, not likely to have one at least for another month or two. We talked with Andre Flewellen, just signed to the roster the other day, Bills defensive lineman. And Andre Flewellen, we learned from him what the coach's expectations are for him on the Buffalo roster.
They just want me to be me. You know, I'm not 330 pounds. I never will be, and they don't ask me to be that. But they like my quickness, explosive, the way I move. And they said, you know, we want you to be you. Find a spot for you to be you. And don't try to do anything more than what your body can do. So, you know, I'm really appreciative of that. They give me that opportunity to not try to be somebody else, but just to be Andre Flewellen.
Andre Flewellen in the Buffalo Bills minicamp again tomorrow. Also, we learned from Drew Davison, who covers the Dallas Cowboys for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, about the use of the drones at Cowboys minicamp, flying overhead, taking video, and the use of the virtual reality quarterback trainers, where they get the backup quarterbacks in a room and show them looks of the opposing defense. Drew Davison told us that's something that longtime NFL backup quarterback Jason Garrett, now the Cowboys head coach, has dreamed about.
You know, he's kind of been dreaming or thinking of something like this for the last 20 years. And, you know, last year, for the Cowboys at least, you know, their backups got plenty of reps because Tony Romo was coming back from back surgery. So, you know, they got a lot of reps during the offseason. But this year, Romo's practice every day, so for the backups, it's really a nice tool that they can kind of go back into, you know, the virtual reality room and, you know, kind of go through plays and just see, you know, and they can physically take a 3 or 5 step drop and just really visualize how they would call the play and see the defense.
Drew Davison from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram about the use of that technology at the Cowboys training camp. That's what we've learned tonight. We also learned that Friday night the show, as we knew this, but you've learned tonight that Friday night the show will be on the road at NOCO Express, Walden Avenue, at the corner of Pavement Road in the town of Lancaster, 4221 Walden Avenue. Jerry Hughes will be there signing autographs, one per person. So make plans now to be with us Friday night, 7 to 9 p.m. at NOCO Express on Walden Avenue at the corner of Pavement Road in Lancaster. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned and locally operated since 1933. Like NOCO on Facebook.com/NOCO for great deals, specials, and more. Mike Jafar, our engineer. Jay Harris, our producer. Bill, director of broadcasting. Jeff Matthews. We'll see you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.